guys, welcome to the Ask Basely Show. My name is Basely Yorobi, and I am the CEO and founder of ConnectX Global. In this podcast, I will answer to the couple questions about tech, entrepreneurship, and life.
Cool. Okay, I will introduce quickly myself. My name is Basely Yorobi. I'm an entrepreneur, and I create a podcast called Ask Basely. And I invite people to talk about happiness. And I was lucky to meet a guy in Cybersoftware 2018. And I sent an email and say, "Oh, do you want to do a podcast?" I say yes. And I do a podcast with him, and he introduced me with Peg, and we say, "Okay, can you do a conversation about the future of social media?" And there we are. We do this conversation, and I want just to, before starting anything, just say thank you to Peg and Guy to giving us this time to, because I know that you are busy, and it's an honor and privilege to do this room with you. I will start the first question. How do you define social media?
How do we define social media?
Yeah.
It's the single best way to waste time.
That's funny. There's so many different ways to answer that because, you know, it's marketing, but then it's also social. So now at this point in 2021, there's a huge range of what quote unquote social media is. Technically, Clubhouse is kind of social media now, social audio. YouTube can be called social media, Twitter, you know, it depends. And then there's just marketing, if you're doing, you know, creating marketing campaigns and putting them out. So it's really hard to define, you know, social media is a small generalization because it's exploded into kind of a universe of things at this point. It used to be maybe a little planet or maybe a moon, but now it's like a universe or a Milky Way.
Wow, very cool. So the second question, you know, there is a lot of questions I have for you, but also if you want to discuss about something, use a conversation, you can chime in and say whatever you want. How we can start to create a good content on social media? Because I watch a lot of your interview about your book, The Heart of Social Media, and you invite a lot of people like Gary Vee and such influencer to understand how they behave on social media. And what are the good tips to create a good content on social media?
Well, my theory is that social media is something where you have to earn the right to have followers and in particular promote anything to your followers. So I use what I call the NPR model. And the NPR or Wikipedia model is that, you know, once a year, these two organizations ask you to donate money, and they get tens of millions of dollars of donations. And my thinking is that the reason why they get tens of millions of dollars of donations is because they have provided value. So that's my theory with social media, that I want to provide value with social media. This could be information, analysis, entertainment, something along those lines. And in exchange for providing that, I want the ability to promote things via social media. So I believe in earning the right to promote via social media.
Yeah, there we are. Go ahead, Peg.
Live streaming that will stream on YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. curated content. So it's kind of, it's a combination, and Gary Vee talks about that in his in Jab Jab Right Hook. It's we have a very similar model, but like Guy explained earlier, and then it's varied over time what we've promoted as the main piece of content. Sometimes it was just blog content. Sometimes we did videos, like when we did the Art of Social Media, we did live streams. And interviewed people like Gary Vee, and other people came on and we asked them how they did social media. So there's really honestly no one right way to do things or wrong way to do things. It's kind of figuring out, you know, what's important to you for social media, like why are you doing it? I see a lot of people on Clubhouse that are just talking about like lifestyle people, coaches, like, you know, people are putting in hours and hours on Clubhouse just talking and sharing ideas, and some of them are great and some of them maybe not so great. So I think it's an area where you kind of have to watch out to make sure that you're following people who really do have expertise in what they're talking about.
Yeah, all right. I think you totally right. And what is amazed me on Clubhouse, that I don't know for you, but people are on Clubhouse and they talk about Clubhouse. What do you think about that? Do you think that is appropriate to be on platform and talking about the same platform?
I think that's every new platform, to be honest. When something's new, people want to. This isn't the first rodeo. People had a Periscope when that was new, that everybody was like, I'm a Periscoper, I'm video. When TikTok came out, everybody was like, I make 15-second videos. And then if you're Shawn Mendes, you get a record deal from that. And there are breakouts. There's TikTok, same thing. You know, there's these young girls who made up these little dance videos and now are millionaires. And they're, you know, making millions of dollars making TikTok videos. So, it's really interesting, but I think that is kind of how it goes with every new platform. Google Plus was 100% the same way. People talked about how to use Google Plus. The interesting thing with new social platforms is what people are doing is you're given this app, which is, you know, turn it on and you can talk and people can listen. What people are doing is they're creating the community and the rules, which is something that definitely happened on Google Plus too. Like, it's kind of like playground rules. Like, people are just making up, like, this is the right way. Like, you're a moderator, and then you have to write in your profile, I'm a moderator for rooms, or, like, people are creating the ecosystem, and they're creating the rules and the guidelines. Facebook groups were the same thing when those were a real big thing, where people would make up rules, and then there's no rules for anything, so then when you're starting a club or a room on Clubhouse, you would write on there, you know, we don't, no hate speech, no violence, no, you know, like those kind of things. So part of talking about Clubhouse on Clubhouse is that people are trying to figure out how to use it, and they're sharing their expertise as well as trying to be the thought leader and the smartest people about Clubhouse.
Yeah, I understand. I may understand. Another question I have is the web. We know the web 1, the web 2. Right now, people talking about web 3. How do you understand this anthropologic evolution of the society depending on different version of the web, like? For me, the web 1 and 2 are not the same, and I don't know where we go. Is like everything is too big and too fast. What do you think about this evolution of the web?
Well, honestly, I don't think about that at all. So to me, it may be an interesting academic and intellectual discussion about web 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. But the bottom line for me is, how is whatever technology useful for me? So, well, whether that's Clubhouse or Facebook or Twitter or Pinterest or Instagram, I don't sit around thinking what's the future of the web and what are the ramifications of web 1, 2, 3, or 4. It's just my I just work my ass off and I'm not thinking about stuff like that. So Pig is a deeper thinker than I am.
So, Pig, do you think about
that's
that?
Not true either. You think
Yeah, exactly. And what you say about the thing that sometimes it's not important to think about the next wave, but being focused on this wave. Do you think also that it's not interesting to think about that saying that this platform is bad and this platform is good? Because all the time people say all platforms are bad and good. You know, you think that we can just use the platform and don't think? Because sometimes it's important to be a simple guy, right? So what do you think?
I mean, for us, or at least for me, it's all about pragmatism. So it's not a religious issue for me. So as platforms come and go, Peg and I test them for effectiveness. And if they work for us, we use them. And if they don't, we don't. Initially, with a platform like Clubhouse, step number one is to grab your name before you have to, go through the process of trying to get a squatter off your name. So as soon as we know of a platform, we jump and grab our names. And then you can kind of take a wait and see. But I will tell you that right now, my follower count on most established platforms is basically stagnant. It's very hard to get new followers on anything. So the land grab occurs when a platform first comes out. So I'm heavily on Clubhouse right now because it's a land grab. And 6 months from now, it may look like very smart, or 6 months, you may say, you just wasted a whole bunch of hours trying to be on Clubhouse. So I don't know, but 6 months from now, it's too late to decide to get on Clubhouse.
Yeah, you have to do that initial land grab and figure it out for sure.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, you can't really say one word. I mean, it's different for everybody, because if you take a food blogger, for example, you would do something different on every social platform. But here's my best example of viral content. This recent content. So this blogger in Finland, she's a food blogger. She made this really amazing, easy dish, and she made a TikTok video of it. But first, she made an Instagram story of it, and it went viral. I sent that recipe. I made it last night, and I sent that recipe. I had people on Facebook, one of my aunts, people from high school, other social media marketers, like everybody's obsessed with this bit, with this one recipe. So viral content can happen anywhere. It started on Instagram, but it really went viral on TikTok, and now tons of people are taking that and making that video. It was posted, her recipe was posted in the Washington Post, the New York Times, and a whole bunch of regular traditional media. So there's not one way to do things. I think traditionally people would say, well, if you have a recipe, you need to have a blog and you need to write the recipe on the blog, which you do because you need to own that. And there's copyright laws around recipes, which people don't really follow, but there are. So I'm sure people have like taken her intellectual property and made their own money off of it, and she probably won't see that. But it's interesting. So I don't think you can rule out one thing or another, but you do kind of have to choose where you're going to focus most of your attention. Like, say right now there's Clubhouse, say exact same time. Well, an older example, Meerkat came out. Everybody was into Meerkat. Remember Meerkat guy?
Barely.
Yeah, me too.
So we were at South by Southwest, and Meerkat came out. And I was like, guy, we have to use Meerkat. And so, you know, we got it, we're using it, we're learning it. 1 week later, we went to Social Media Marketing World. Literally 1 week later, Meerkat was dead and Periscope was in. It was like the fastest swap ever. And everybody just loved Periscope more, and Meerkat kind of faded away.
Well, and that could happen with Clubhouse because Twitter has spaces. And, you know, this is not going to be the only social audio platform.
Yeah.
So, you know, the question is, you know, does Clubhouse have legs? And I don't think anybody can answer that question yet. And so, you know, when you read all these news reports about Clubhouse has a $1 billion valuation, it's total bullshit. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter for you and I. It may matter for the founders. But that is a, talk about a social convention and an artificial valuation. Oh, my God.
Yeah, absolutely. And this statement helped me to ask you another question. I see that you talk a lot on your book and also when you do a video, Peggy and Guy, about some tips to be a power user or OG. So what being power user and OG mean for you, and what's the good tips you can provide to the audience? And thanks again for new people in the room. We are with Guy and Peggy, and just a simple conversation about the future of social media.
I think an OG and a power user are two different things. So if you want to be an OG, you have to be the first people on a platform. So all the early adopters on Clubhouse could be OGs. We were like super OGs on Google Plus, and that paid off because Guy and I, you know, both built, I had like 1.5 million followers. Guy had like 8 million followers, and that disappeared in a snap. So that's the thing is, another thing is that we kind of keep our feet in other, we don't ditch one thing and move to another thing without, we keep things rolling on the other platforms as well. But so an OG is definitely somebody who's been around, like Guy has been on since the very, very early days of Twitter. I joined in like 2010, but I think were you on in 2009, Guy?
I can't remember what happened yesterday. You're asking me to remember what?
I always know that because it tells me, let me check your profile and see if it says. You joined in August of 2007.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah. So that's a lot. So you were a very early user.
It was and Robert Scoble back then.
Yeah. You and like Alyssa, Cam
Hartley.
Yeah. And iJustine. And there's a lot of people that you know from those very early days because there weren't that many people on. So like that's the meaning of an OG is definitely somebody like Guy who, you know, he was there in 2007. I've been on since 2010. That's a long, I looked at that the other day and I was like, man, I think I've been on Twitter every day of that time.
I don't.
That is not true, because it's like the second highest social referrers to your podcast on the website.
What's first highest?
Sometimes LinkedIn.
But I don't like passionately go look at tweets anymore. And I have, well, I don't know, 1.5 million followers on Twitter.
Yep.
I swear half of those people are dead or Russian bots. I mean,
I think it's their bots, the numbers follow it. But yeah, I get what you're saying. It's not like it was in the old days, but there's a lot of conversation now that goes on Twitter that's actually pretty good. It's switched from more like just sharing out your things to people ask questions and have conversations almost like in the beginning, but it's just harder to find them now. And then a social media power user would be Guy and I. You know, both of us are people who we say power users because we use that as, gosh, it's probably driven everything we've done for the past 10 years as far as work goes, right, Guy?
I would say that's accurate, yes.
Yeah, it gets speaking engagements, it gets book deals, it gets, you know, if you take a new author, for example, if somebody wrote a book and they want to submit it to the publisher says, okay, I got your book proposal, where's your marketing proposal? They want to see how you're going to promote your book, and they want to know how many followers you have on all the different platforms, because they know that the authors need to have a social platform. So if you want to be an author, you kind of have to have a social platform these days because the publishers want to see it.
Well, Peg, I have a question for you. So let's say that someone said to you, you can either have Twitter or your email address is in MailChimp. So we have like 25,000 email addresses in MailChimp, right? Mm-hmm. And we have 1.5 million followers on Twitter. If you could pick only one, which one would you pick?
Well, I would pick email. I've always have felt that email is the strongest, more because it's like your website. The only two things that you actually own in anything on the internet are your email list and your website. Everything else can disappear, like Google+ or Vine or Elo or any of those things that have come and gone. And all the time that you put into something can disappear, but every second that you spend on your website pays off, or you're building your email list. So your email list is the most valuable. I don't really know how that fits in social media. Like, it's part of the whole ecosystem, but of any of those, I'd rather have that.
Cool, amazing. And what you say about Mickey amazed me, because finally social media is kind of fast and go, like something could be great, like something can be disappear. You know, I know that this question could be very futurist, but I will try again. what do you think? Do you think that YouTube and Twitter can disappear? I know that it's our problem, but just I want to know if you have some idea, or if you don't have idea, it's okay. But I'll try again to see if you think about the next wave.
They can all disappear. Any of them can disappear. Google is like the number one website in the world, unless Amazon passed that during the pandemic because everybody's buying toilet paper. But I think that any of them can disappear. You know, you think that they're not going to, but it's possible they could. Being in social media for this long, we've seen a lot of things come and go. I'm honestly surprised that Twitter has hung in there, to be honest, because Twitter, you know, used to be the biggest place where people talked, and now it's, you know, even though, like, Guy's been on there for so long, he will barely go check in there. But, and I think the other hard thing is that attention is so divided, and if somebody sees you on Clubhouse, they have to figure out how to find you. Like, a lot of people have in their bios, send me a direct message on Instagram. I also had, I think Guy had people send him messages on LinkedIn, and you've had emails. So it's a weird kind of communication here, because you can't really contact people. You can listen to them talk, but you can't contact them. To me, that's not social.
Well, whenever I open a room, I tell people my email is guykawasaki@gmail.com. I've told literally thousands of people that. And some people think I'm nuts for doing that, but not that many people write to me. So, and I'm the guy who has my cell phone in my email signature. So, now, you know, admittedly, I'm not a 25-year-old hottie, so nobody's going to sexually harass me. But it's I make it very easy to get in touch with.
It's true, but I'm just saying, like, in general...
What do you mean it's true? That I'm not hot, or that...
You're definitely, to me, I would say no, but there's a lot of women who kind of... We've worked together too long, it's just not, you know... but there are a lot of women who think you are, they comment on your live streams. Women of a certain age love you.
Like 90 plus?
Just kidding. I totally threw our conversation off track. No, my point is that you have to, like, tell people about, you know what I mean? Like, you have to say, hey, go to my, you know, you can send me an email here. They can't contact you through Clubhouse. Like, send you a message.
So, in the spirit of if there's a will, there's a way. So, in so many of my rooms, I tell people about the same book and the same podcast. And then a lot of people want to know how I, what technology I use for Clubhouse to get better audio, because I'm using an XLR mic. And, you know, I'm not just using what's built into an iOS device. So I got so tired of having to explain that if you want to know what I do, any of you can go to remarkablepeople.com/clubhouse, and I list the books and the technology that I'm using for this, because hopefully you think that my audio sounds better than most people's audio, because if you knew the amount of trouble I went through to get this audio so that I can sound like Barry White.
Would you amazing. Should post that video on your Instagram.
Can't get enough of me on Clubhouse, baby.
But I confirm that, Guy and Peg, you are a simple guy, I know. And but sometimes people create barrier, you know, they don't try, you know. And all the time since 2018, you all day long answer to my email, all day. And I want to publicly say thank you to you, Guy, and thank you, Peg, because you answered to me. And I want to reformulate the next question, because I don't want to go again on the next wave. I will reformulate this question. Do you use TikTok and or not? And if you use TikTok, what do you think? What's the difference for you between TikTok and Instagram?
I don't use TikTok. I don't look at TikTok. I'm 40 years too old to be on TikTok.
Okay. Peggy?
That's funny. Actually, you are on TikTok, although I think your daughter deleted the video where you were dancing, because I looked for it the other day. That was a really funny one. Guy was dancing behind his daughter. It was hysterical.
This is on the beach?
Yeah.
She deleted that?
I
Likes
to clean her stuff up.
I'm
going to
take her out of the will.
Cool. Make spot for me. So for TikTok, I have some TikTok videos that I suck on TikTok, but I am a TikTok consumer, and I love that you can find different areas. I think it's very well organized. See, that's another thing where TikTokers have, like, created their own communities by hashtags, so it's really easy to find people who like the same things, and then their For You page shows you a lot of great things, because it's all obviously so algorithms, and I love that about Pinterest too. Like, if I go to Pinterest, it shows me things that I like based on previous searches, and it's very accurate as far as what they have. So TikTok, I like a lot. I do not have 3 hours to make a 30-second video because it's so time-consuming, but I went to go check it out because I wanted to do Instagram Reels. And TikTok is actually better as far as, like, their video creation tools. Like, you can sync it to the music automatically on TikTok. So I love it. And definitely things on TikTok go viral.
Yeah, of course. For new people in the room, we it is a simple conversation about the future of social media with Peggy and Guy, and it's such a pleasure to have them on this room. And we talk about the future of social media, but in the same time, we know that we are in this wave, and we don't try to figure out the next wave. But you know, another question could be interesting and make a guy smiling. Why Google Plus is dead? Why this? Personally, I was the first early adopter of this platform. I love this platform. I get my invitation. And after that, I say, it's end. I was very sad about that.
Me too. And I think Google made a mistake. They should have taken Ritalin that day. They had attention deficit. They should have stuck it out. But I guess when you're Google and your revenue is in the billions, and Google Plus, well, certainly wasn't cash flow positive probably, but it didn't move the needle. And so if I had described Google Plus to you without telling you it's Google Plus, the amount of engagement, the amount of users, et cetera, you would have said, wow, what a great social media platform. But then I tell you it's Google Plus, and you say, oh, it's a loser. It's because it's a loser within the context of Google Plus. But if two guys in a garage or two gals in a garage had made Google Plus, now we would be saluting them. So I think they killed it prematurely. I'm not saying they regret that, but I still think it would be good for Google to have their foot in social media.
I think there was a problem with data somewhere that they didn't have it secure enough for people's something. And I don't think the whole story of that ever came out. Like, they kind of built it. And then I think they had some problems with, like, Facebook with the data, the kind of stuff that Facebook is going to end up being responsible for. I think Google Plus was at the end was like, we don't really want to deal with that. But for some reason, it just never caught on. It's like, it just was never the sexy social media platform for some reason.
How do you define caught on? Because there were tens of millions of people there.
It got so much hate in the media always. Everybody was always like, look, Google Plus, why are you there? No one's there. I met so many great people on Google Plus that I'm still connected with. And I met people who I wouldn't have connected with otherwise that are like mom bloggers or food bloggers or different kinds of people. So it just wasn't the thing. I mean, everybody was always like, why are you there? Like, and I was like, it's amazing. I was always dragging people over. Come on, come talk to me on Google Plus. It's great.
I feel like Google Plus is the manual transmission of social media. Manual transmission is gradually dying. And I'm going to miss when there's no manual transmission cars.
I miss Google Plus. Google Plus was great for conversation. And it was well organized. It had, there's a lot of ways. It was more simple than Facebook. Facebook ended up being such a hot mess.
Yeah, and also what was interesting with Google Plus is the fact that you can create an event and connect that with the Google Hangout and publish on YouTube. And I watched all the YouTube you made with your book. It was just amazing. And I think that it was in 2014, and when I checked this video, I said, yeah. And also I see a video, it was so funny. A guy was in a Uber. I think you don't remember, but Peggy, I think you remember. It was in Uber, and he made a video on Google Hangout with you, and it was funny to see that, and I see it recently on YouTube, too.
That was actually... Really? What? Yeah, that was, my first book club. That one? It was the first book club? Because the first book club that I did, Guy was in there, I don't know, there was one that you came in and you were in an Uber, for sure. Really? You were running late and I was running it. That definitely happened a couple times.
Huh. Yep. Well, I boycott Uber anyway, I won't use Uber.
No.
You're
not going anywhere.
Well, that's also true, yeah. But if you're interested, the reason why I stopped using Uber and I went to Lyft is because of all their issues with misogyny, basically. So I just, yeah. It just repulsed me.
Did Ariana leave your board?
I don't know. I would have if I were her, but
right.
Cool.
Yeah, so Google Plus, definitely, I agree with Gary that they threw the baby out with the bathwater on that one.
Yeah. Absolutely. We are because I want to respect your time, and I know that you don't have a lot of time. We are no far away to close the room, but I have, I think, two last question. So what do you think about the social audio? I already tested Sono, Chuckle, and Twitter Space, and also of course Clubhouse. But personally, I think that The only one platform for me was very, very funny is Sono. Sono is very fun. Like, you can create your own tribe, your own land, etc. virtually, and connect with people. But for the rest, for me, the same experience than Clubhouse is not typically different. So what do you think?
I never even heard of those things. I just listen to Pegasus, go on Sonos or whatever, I go. It's just that.
I told you to go on Clubhouse and you said nope.
Well, but then I eventually, came.
Obviously,
to,
you're here.
That's right. But are we on Sonos? No, right?
No.
I don't even know what that is. I thought that was the name of a speaker company.
Yeah, I think the thing that I find interesting about social audio is everything is visual and video before this, right? So everything that's popular is videos. People want to see video. They want it entertaining. They want it short. People are watching videos with their sound off. And now all of a sudden everybody wants audio. I think part of the reason that it's popular is because we're all in our houses and we're kind of like isolated. So it's nice to hear people's voices. It is also... mostly you have to focus on exactly the conversation, otherwise you miss parts of it, just like real life. If you're not listening and your spouse is talking, you miss it. So it's kind of like that, you focus your attention on the conversation, so I think that is a draw for Clubhouse. But I'm not sure how it fits in. I think there's a certain percentage of people who prefer listening to things. Well, I think that it's also scientifically proven. I was an education major in college, education in geography with a minor in English, and one of the things that you learn is that everybody has a different learning style. So people are auditory learners, some people are visual learners, some people are kinesthetic learners, so they learn by doing and running around and doing things. And the people who are auditory learners are going to love podcasts and Clubhouse. I personally am a visual learner, I'm a combination learner, but audio for me is honestly my worst thing, because I can't work on something else and listen to people talking and focus on creating graphics or writing things or doing things like that. So I think Clubhouse is really appealing to the auditory learners, and I think there's a lot of people who still love visual stuff. People love YouTube and TikTok, and we want to be entertained, and right now the demographics at Clubhouse are marketers and entrepreneurs and so many people in the entertainment industry, which is fascinating. I don't know what the future is. I think maybe it's kind of different things for different people. Usually the hot social platform is the one that the teenagers go to and that they're all using, TikTok and Snapchat. And I don't think young kids are on Clubhouse, so I don't know what that says for it.
The appeal for me for Clubhouse is I don't have to worry what I look like. I mean, I can, I don't have to put my contacts on. When I go live on social media, I got to be in the right room. It's got to be a soundproof room. I have to have all the lights on. I have to, powder my nose. I have to, so much shit to go live on video. But here...
Imagine you were a girl and you had to do your hair, too.
No kidding.
Another hour.
So, dry bar for guys, and so audio only is so much easier. And I also think that people can listen to audio. You could be cooking or doing something, and it's kind of like listening to a radio talk show with intelligent guests. And so, you know, it's very good kind of background noise that's semi-valuable. Whereas if you were in a live thing, you know, because of live Facebook, I mean, it's hard to do that as a background process because you're trying to watch the person and, you know, your camera's on, so they may be watching. I mean, it's like so much more stuff going on. And I also like that with audio only, you may not have noticed, but when I am not speaking, I mute myself because I have terrible allergies right now. So whenever Peg or Vasily is talking, I mute myself so I can sneeze. And you couldn't do that with live video. I mean, which is like a real problem if you have allergies. So, you know, these are the things that go through my mind as I pick social media platforms.
but then you have to look at the aspect of Clubhouse, like Snapchat, where it disappears. So you're putting the time into it, but then it's gone. You know, it's not like you can link to your podcast. It's not like you. So for me, that's part of the thing with it is like, you know, which is part of the appeal of it, because you're getting that, like, oh my gosh, so and so is going to be live. And, you know, sometimes you come on here and there's, you know, Elon Musk, people talked about it for 2 days, one day before he came on, and 24 hours afterwards, Elon Musk is on Clubhouse. And so, yeah, I mean, it's like connecting with people. And I mean, I'll totally date myself when I say this one, but it goes all the way back to AOL.com, and you could go in chat rooms. And one time I was in a room with John F. Kennedy Jr., and that was a pretty big deal.
he told me he was really thrilled to be in the room with you two.
No, I'm just saying, like, there's that aspect of, like, connecting with people. So there's that cool part of connecting with people. People are listening. Do you guys find it awkward, though, that on Clubhouse, like, we're talking and everyone else has to listen, and there's not even any way to know, like, do they agree? Do they not agree? I find that part of it weird.
I think that's a little weird, too. On the other hand, it beats anarchy. But if I had one magic bullet and, you know, Clubhouse would listen to me, I don't think they even know I exist. But I would like it so that when people are talking, the person talking is more obvious. Because this little blinking brown outline, it's not so obvious who the hell is talking. And I think in a perfect world, the person talking, the list of people would redraw so that the person talking is always in the upper left-hand corner or specially marked. This is the person talking, because I cannot tell who the hell is talking sometimes. And there are a lot of rooms where there are a lot of people on stage, and you're like, well, who is saying that? And so can't you just move that person to the top? Or, like, right now, you know, if you're looking at this, it says there's three of us on top, there's followed by the speakers, and then there's others in the room. So why can't there be a section of this is who's talking right now?
Or just change that gray to a different color.
Make it bigger or something. I mean, how hard could that be? The other thing that pisses me off about Clubhouse, just to show you my OCD-ness, is when you get notifications and it says, you know, Peg Fitzpatrick has joined Clubhouse, you know, welcome them, something like that, you know, welcome them to Clubhouse. Peg Fitzpatrick is a person. The form of the pronoun should be singular, not they. And also the notifications are two independent clauses separated by a conjunction. There should be a comma between the last word and the word and, because it's two independent clauses connected by conjunction. So freaking Clubhouse, like, get somebody who understands grammar. My God.
Maybe they don't teach that at Stanford.
Excuse me, I went to Stanford. I know grammar.
I was just giving you a hard time.
I think this platform is a good platform for you guys, because I meet you, but I don't know you well. But when I done the podcast with you, I understand that you're a simple guy And I think this platform is good for a simple guy or simple woman or simple people. Like, you click on it, you start a room, you talk to people. You can be naked, you can be whatever, you can cook, you know, you talk, and you don't need to use all these filters, you know. Yeah, absolutely, you're totally right.
You could be naked and have allergy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Your last thought, I want just plug your stuff. Pei, can you talking about your book and also the podcast? Because personally, though, I'm a fan. A guy know that I'm a fan of remarkable people. I listen to remarkable people to all time in the right way and every day. So can you share the book, social media, Heart of Social Media, and also Remarkable People podcast?
Okay. So we'll let Peg talk about the book. I'll talk about the podcast.
Okay, go ahead. So
my podcast is called Remarkable People. You can get to it at remarkablepeople.com. What a concept. I bought that domain for about $2,000 a year and a half ago. I'm still amazed that I pulled that off. But anyway, so it is a collection of interviews with me talking to remarkable people. And unlike most podcasters, I believe my role is to bring out the best of the guest and give them the floor. So if you look at the content of Remarkable People, it's probably 95% my guest and 5% me. So it's not about me trying to dominate a podcast, which there are some podcasts where I am so sick of hearing from the host, and I didn't come on to hear the host talk about his bullshit. So, you know, let's listen to the guest here. And so I have people that I swear, I think I have as good a guest list in all of podcasting as anybody. For example, I had Steve Wozniak, Steve Wolfram, Margaret Atwood, Arianna Huffington, Martha Stewart, Jane Goodall, Christy Yamaguchi. I've had the president of Hint. I've had the president of, coming up is Melissa and Doug, the toy company, Susan Fry, the largest seller of pumpkins in the United States.
Sarah Fry.
I'm sorry? Oh, Sarah Fry. And the whole goal of this podcast is for you to listen to it and get a little bit of information that you can be more remarkable to. So that's the goal of the podcast. And I like to tell people, although some people get really upset when I say this, think of it as NPR without the pledge drive.
A remarkable drive. So our book that we wrote together, you can find out information on it at artof.social. The book is called The Art of Social Media: Power Tips for Power Users. And it's a basic guide for somebody who wants to come on social media and learn how to use it as a marketing platform versus just, you know, talking to people. So it's basically how to use social media for your business or marketing. With power tips, so you can become a power user.
Absolutely.
No fluff, great stuff. That was our tagline.
Yeah, you got it. That is a freaking great tagline. I mean, mm-hmm. You got to admit that.
Yeah, there are some good lines in there. it was great, especially up until Salesforce took it for their newsletter. In their Salesforce newsletter now, and I'm like, you did not write that. We wrote that. Thanks, Salesforce.
Yeah.
You know, at least they know who to steal from.
Right.
I'm gonna tell Benny off. He better take it easy.
he'll say we have a newsletter.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having us. I've got to go sneeze for about 20 times, so yeah.
Yeah, thanks so much also for your time, because I know that you are a lot of people want to have you, Peggy and Guy. Yeah, it was a pleasure and honor. And for anybody in the room, this is a simple conversation about the future of social media. My name is Basley. Please follow Peggy and Guy. Follow me if you want to have this kind of conversation, because I do a podcast where I invite some people are very cool, simple like guy, and we talk about happiness and the beauty of humanity. And last thought I want to give Peggy and Guy, the last thought for the audience, because there is a lot of remarkable people in the audience, and you're totally right, Guy. So there is no difference between followed by speaking and older in the room. We are all remarkable people. So what is your last thought, Peggy and Guy? And of course, we can close the room. And thanks so much again for the time, for your commitment, and for all things you do for humanity. Thanks so much, Peggy and Guy.
Well, I just want to thank you for this opportunity, and thank you, everybody who attended, for your attention, because attention is arguably one of the most valuable resources you have. So thank you for joining us. And I hope you learned a little bit about social media that can help you use it even better. And that's it. Have a great weekend.
Wow, it's Friday. Thank you for having me. And it was nice chatting. And hi to everybody on the room. I couldn't actually say hi to you, but thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you so much, and have a blessed afternoon, after night, and also happy day, happy weekend too. And see you next time for Ask Basically number 2. And thanks so much again, Guy and Peggy. See you next time. Bye.
Guys, for the listening, please subscribe and share it. Share this podcast with your friend and your family. See you next time. Have a blessed day.